文艺复兴启蒙运动与神的主权第十一讲 Renaissance, the Enlightenment and the Sovereignty of God, Session 11 David Hume 休谟 1711-1776 David Hume 休谟书本是199页开始我们的讲义是132页开始In Hume's philosophy, the empiricist tradition devolves into skepticism.
经验主义在休谟的哲学里面呢，就变成怀疑主义了。
Hume reaches this conclusion by developing the empiricist epistemology more rigorously than his predecessors.
休谟是怎么达到怀疑这个结论的呢？他就把他前面的那些的经验主义者的知识论更严谨的发展下去。
Like Locke and Berkeley, Hume believes that epistemology must be essentially introspective as an examination of our own ideas and perceptions.
休谟和洛克、伯克莱一样， 他们都相信知识论是什么呢？基本上是内省的
，introspective。
知识论就是在研究我自己的理念和印象
，perceptions。It begins by distinguishing within our experience, between impressions and ideas。
它的起点是在我们的经验里面呢，区分 impression 印象和。Ideas, 理念,印象,理念
The former,
印象
impressions, include sense perceptions as well as the immediate feelings and volitions within the mind itself.
印象 impressions 包括什么呢?包括我们所察觉到的五官的经验,还有在理智里面的直接的感觉和意志的活动。
These are the original source of all knowledge.
所有的知识原本的来源都是这些的。
And we distinguish them by their liveliness and vividness.
这些的五官经验还有我们里面的感觉等等呢是活泼的。
Ideas,
那理念呢就不一样了。
Are fainter copies,of impressions
是印象的一些比较模糊的副本抄本
such as we have in memory
比如说我们的记忆里面 我们所记得的东西
but of course having an idea is a new impression
当然你有一个理念本身就是一个新的印象
which may itself be reflected in further ideas
你又可以透过更多的理念去来反思它，这个是一个循环哦。
So in Hume's thought, there is give and take between impressions and ideas.
所以印象跟理念呢是互动的，
是互动的。Ideas aren't always reliable.
我们的理念不一定是可靠的。
For example 我们举例说明。休谟举例说明 We might have an idea of a flying horse
可能我们有一个能够飞的马这个理念
But that is not proof that there are such things in reality
但这个并不证明在现实世界里面真的有一些能够飞的马
In order to determine whether such ideas are veridical
假如要证明这些理念是正确的吗？符合真理吗
？We must trace them back to the impressions from which they originate.
我们必须要追溯到原本的印象。
We have impressions of horses and of flying creatures,
but no impressions of flying horses. 我们有马的印象，能够飞的飞禽的印象，但我们没有飞马的印象。
So the idea of a flying horse does not commend
believe that such animals exist. 所以飞马这个的理念并不能够让我们相信这种的动物是存在的。
Hume distinguishes Astrid Leibniz between analytic and synthetic statements.
休谟和莱布尼茨一样，他区分有些的断言是分析性的，分析性断言 analytic statements 和组合性的断言 synthetic statements,
which he called relations of ideas and relations of fact.
分析断言休谟称为relations of ideas, 理念的关系。组合性断言休谟称为 relations of fact, 事实的关系。
注脚69。Recall that Leibniz also made use of this distinction.
请记得莱布尼兹也做过这样的区别。
In the end, Leibniz concluded that the distinction between analytic and synthetic collapses.
但是莱布尼兹最后的结论是分析性和组合性的区别最后是消失的、瓦解的。
Because from God's point of view, every fact about an object is part of its concept or definition.
从神的角度来看，对一个物体的每一个事实都是这个概念或者定义的一部分。
So that for Leibniz, all statements are analytic.
所以对莱布尼兹来说，所有的断言都是分析性的。
Hume, rather, believes that there's no way of relativizing this distinction.
但是休谟认为没有办法、没有方法把这个区别相对化。
Contrary to the paper of Quine cited in the following note.
Okay, 好，现在我们来看休谟怎么讲啊。
This distinction is sometimes called Hume's fork.
这个区别就是分析性的断言和组合性的断言之间的区别呢，有人称之为休谟的叉子。
Analytic statements are true by virtue of the fact that their predicate is included in the subject.
分析性的断言是正确的，因为它的谓语已经主体里面。
For example, every unmarried man is a bachelor.
譬如说，每一个没有结过婚的人是个单身汉。
These are not based on evidence or empirical verification.
这些的断言并不是根据证据或者观察而证实的。
They are true by virtue of the meanings of the words.
这些字本身的意义就导致这些话是正确的。注脚70，富勒姆的分析。
Of course, determining the meanings of words is itself an empirical exercise and not always easy.
当然要决定字什么意思呢，本身就是一个经验上的操作，也不一定很容易。
That issues cause a sharpness of the analytic synthetic distinction in the question.
这个问题呢就让我们看到是分析性还是组合性，这个区别呢是值得怀疑的。
But I will not discuss that complication here.
但是呢弗勒姆说我在这本书不会再讨论这个的复杂性的问题。好，我们继续看本文。
For Hume, statements of mathematics and logic are analytic in this way. Therefore, certainly true.
对休谟来说，数学跟逻辑的断言是分析性的，因此有确定性，是确实，是真的，是正确的。
So for Hume, it is not necessary for us to verify them by tracing them back to impressions.
所以我们不必把数学跟逻辑的断言追回去一些的印象，才能够证明他们是正确的。
Synthetic truths, however,
但是组合性的真理呢？
Requires sensory verification if we are to affirm them as true.
我们假如要相信这些组合性的真理是真理的话，就需要用五官经验来证实了。
This is a work of science.
这个就是科学的任务。
Hence, Hume's famous saying.
因此呢，休谟的名言，我就不读下去了。 啊，简单的说，要烧掉形而上学的书，把所有神学的书把它都烧掉就对了。
布兰姆的分析和批判。 Clearly, though, experimental reasoning concerning matter of fact and existence cannot be certain in the way that abstract reasoning concerning quantity or number can be.
但是很清楚的一件事就是啊，当我们用数字 number 来做抽象推理的时候是很确定的，但是假如我们要讨论事实 fact 跟存在，这样子用经验来推理的话呢，是没有这么的确定，没有这么清楚的吧。
As Locke said, 正如洛克说， Empirical knowledge, knowledge of matters of fact, can be no more than probably certain.
经验上的知识，就是对事实的知识呢，只可能是可能豁然的确定的。
Although in some cases that probability is very high.
虽然有的时候这个豁然性很高就是了。
So when Hume applies this method to the traditional problems of philosophy, certainty is very hard to come by indeed.
所以假如休谟用这个方法来解决传统的哲学问题的话，就很难有确定性的结论，确定的知识了。
His main approach is to sort out our impressions by noting associations among them.
他主要的方法就是把我们所有的印象来归类，来注意 这些印象之间有什么的连结吗？
Resemblances, 相似性吗？
Contiguity, 临近性吗？
And causality, 因果性吗？
只能研究不同的印象之间的关联。
He puts particular emphasis on causality,
他特别注重因果关系。
The very nature of science is to determine the causes of different effects.
因为科学本身的任务就是要发现不同的果效背后的成因是什么。
But in Hume's method, the very idea of cause is problematic.
但是在休谟的方法里面呢，因成因这个概念本身就要大大有问题。
Hume states, 休谟是这样说的。
When we say that event A is the cause of event B, 当我们说 A 是 B 这件事情的成因的时候，
we mean that, 我们的意思就是说 number one, A occurs prior to B.
第一，我们的意思就是说 A 发生在 B 之前。
Two, 第二， A and B are contiguous in time and place.
A 和 B 在时间空间方面呢是临近的。
And three, there's a necessary connection between A and B. So that A makes B to take place.
A 和 B 之间有一个必然性的关联，就是说 A 使 B 发生的。
So, Hume tries to trace each of these three elements back to sense impressions.
所以休谟就要把这三个因素追回去经验上的印象。
He has no problem with the first two, priority and contiguity.
他没有问题可以追溯到先后次序和临近性。
But as he surveys impressions in his experience,
但是当他看自己的经验里面的印象的时候，
he does not find any that correspond to the idea of necessary connection.
他没有找到一个必然关联的这个印象的。
Footnote 72, 72注脚
Recall that Berkeley made the same argument.
注意到伯克莱也用也有同样的，
请记得伯克莱有同样的论证的。
But unlike Hume, he appealed to God as the one who imparted efficacy to all causes.
但是伯克莱不一样，他不像休谟，伯克莱啊，指向上帝，上帝使所有的成因有果效。
In the classic case, in which A is the motion of a billiard and B is the motion of the second,
经典的个案 A 是一个球在动， B 是第二个球在动，就是好像打这个桌球一样。 Hume acknowledges that A moves first and that B moves when A strikes it. Hume 承认 A 这个球先在动，然后当 A 打到 B 的时候 B 也会动。 But he does not perceive any power in A that necessitates the movement of B. 但是他说这个 A 这个球本身没有能力必然让 B 去动的。 This conclusion then requires a new understanding of causality. 所以我们对因果必须要有个新的理解。 Hume states that to say A caused B is to say that when A was prior to B, A and B were contiguous, and we are accustomed to seeing B-type movements following A-type movements. 那这个是休谟新的说法。他说 A 是 B 的成因的意思就是说，第一 A 先 B 后，二 A 和 B 在同样一个时间临近的地方，三我们习惯看到 A 型的动作之后就会有 B 型的动作的，或者移动的。 Condition 3, constant conjunction replaces the traditional notion of necessary connection. 所以以前所讲的必然性的关联现在只不过有一个常常有的的并存性而已。 Here as elsewhere, HumeReplaces metaphysics with psychology. 所以这里呢，休谟就把心理学用来取代了形而上学，就是我们心里面习惯性看到 B 球每次都会动。 Causation is not something that we directly perceive in nature. 我们在自然界里面没有直接察觉到因果。 It is the expectation of the human observer.是人这个观察者的预期 reinforced by many such observations of many observers over time. 因为多年来很多的观察者做了很多次的观察都让这个观察者有这个习惯。 It is a mental custom. 是理智的一个习惯罢了。再说和因果只不过是习惯。 Berkeley had also argued that we cannot observe necessary connection in nature.
我们回到伯克莱，他也认为呢，我们在自然界不能够观察到必然的关联的。
But he said that we gain the notion of necessary connection by observing the workings of our minds.
但是伯克莱说，当我们观察我们自己理性的运作的时候，你就会有一种的必然关联的概念的。
By executing our intentions, we're able to make things happen.
当我们的意志动作的时候，我们是可以使事情发生的。
So he taught that we should understand causality by analogy with our thought, and for him, this analogy leads us to ascribe causality ultimately to God.
所以伯克莱的教导是，我们先要看我们的思考。用我们的思考来跟外界的事情比较一下，我们就明白因果了，因果关系了。那这个类似性呢，这个比较最后让我们回到上帝，他是一切的成因。
But that course was not available to Hume.
但是休谟不容允许这条路。
He was not only skeptical about necessary connection.
休谟不单单怀疑必然关联的存在
but also skeptical about the existence of the mind or soul in a traditional metaphysical sense.
他连传统的理智灵魂都怀疑的，传统的形而上学说我们的理性理智我们的灵魂存在，他怀疑的。
He agreed with Berkeley that an examination of experience does not reveal any such thing as material substance.
是的，他和伯克莱一样，相信当我们审核自己的经验的时候，你不会看到一个物体的物质的 substance 实质这个东西的。
But what about immaterial substance? The soul, the self, the mind, 那是非物质的，实质呢？灵魂呢？自我，理智又怎么样呢？
Hume said,
休谟这样说， Whenever he focused on himself, he encountered some perception or other.
当他专注于自我的时候，他会遇到某一种的感觉，某一种的知觉。
He had no perception of a self or soul that brought these perceptions together into a single consciousness.
但是他没有察觉到一个自我，一个灵魂，把这些知觉，一大堆的知觉连接起来，成为一个的意识。就是他知道，哦，这次感觉到我，这次感觉到我，连得起来就是我没有的。
So he defined soul minimally.
所以他认为自我是最小的一个定义。To agree with his experience, 这个是根据他的经验。灵魂是什么呢？
As a bundle of perception,
只不过是一大堆的知觉。
The bundle has a kind of compatibilist freedom, he argues elsewhere. In fact, it is questionable.
所以究竟这个一大堆的自觉是不是有自由的呢？还是不自由的呢？根本不可能去讨论。
So my soul different from yours in that my bundle of perceptions is different from yours.
所以我的灵魂跟你灵魂不一样，因为我那一堆那一坨的知觉跟你的那一堆不一样就是了。
Footnote 75, 75注脚。In one common sense view, knowledge consists of a relation between a subject and an object.
根据常识的观点呢，什么是知识呢？有一个主体，一个认知者 ，and an object, 一个认知的对象。
But in empiricism, Berkeley absorbs the object into the subject.
但是在经验主义哲学里面，伯克莱呢，把对象客体呢，融入到主体里面，消失掉了。
Hume does the reverse. Hume 是做相反一个动作。The subject vanishes into the object of its perception.
主体就融进到他所知道的客体对象那里。就是融，我就融进到啊我的知觉这个东西里面了。
In my proposed philosophy,
弗兰姆说，根据我所提出的基督教哲学，
We need a third factor besides the subject, existential, and the object, situational.
我们需要第三个一个的因素的，不仅仅是主体存在时的，客体对象处境时的。
The third factor is the norm or God's revelation.
第三个因素就是准则，上就是上帝的启示，
which provides rules to distinguish object from subject. In other words, to distinguish truth from illusion.
我们需要神的启示给我们规矩去区分主体跟客体，区分真理和虚幻。
Now, of course, God is also imperceptible.
那么神是不能够察觉得到的。
So therefore, a consistent empiricist such as Hume, God cannot play the sort of role in philosophy that he played for Berkeley.
所以对这种的经验主义者，这个的休谟不可以好像伯克莱这样子让上帝在他的哲学里面占什么地位。那究竟休谟的神论是怎么样的呢？我们下次继续。
Hume's on the subject of God. We can hear you next time.